We'll be starting in 2 minutes. Please take a seat. We'll be starting in 1 minute. Can representatives all take their seats, please?
Representatives, take your seats, please. Well, there you are.
Hey, how are you, Jim?
Well, so, I didn't have this up. I turned it off.
Oh, thank you. Good.
Okay.
All right.
So, it's working. Okay, awesome. Okay. Yep.
All right, we're going to start the meeting. So thanks everyone for coming. We're going to start with the roll call. We're going to need Troy and Natalia. Let's start the roll call, please.
Anderson, here. Ball. Barbarian. Horn. Din. DeBoco. Hassan. In the mini. Hoffman, Kim, Lichen, Lim, McLaur, Martinez, Cornell, Park, Fuller, Sabalo. Scott, Christopher, Sano, Shapiro, Talking Balls, Valdez, Valdez.
Okay. So we're going to start with the open microphone. We have a very special guest, Laura Spitz, who is the Vice President for International Affairs, is here with us. She just wants to give an update on, I think that's just the federal work study that was done for international students. And also, by the way, while she speaks, our VP external, Sarah Park, is going to go around the room to have the speakers list for the community. So if you want to speak, then just let her know. Yeah. Hello.
I wanted to come because I understood that there were some questions about the federal, I don't remember the name of FSAP, but there's been some questions, so I wanted to make sure to make myself available to answer questions that students had. I asked to one if I could start just because I wanted to say, especially in my role, I completely understand the current anxiety on campus among international students, and I acknowledge that anxiety is real, and we're living in pretty difficult times, which, as you are all aware, is compounded by our political environment. So I just want to start by saying I get it. And I also wanted to apologize for the communications around this decision. I feel like we made some mistakes. And so I regret that happened. And then now I just want to talk to you about the decision itself. So did anyone have any questions about my first two comments before I talk about the actual program? All right, what happened is that this is really actually a decision behind the scenes about where funds come from to pay for student jobs. And the decision was made to use this money, which actually is in the financial aid pool, for international financial aid. We liberated the money in order to be able to fund an additional student. So the money that was previously used to subsidize employers on campus is actually going to go directly to international student financial aid. So we'll be able to bring more students to campus. The jobs themselves, and this is what I think people are having some questions about, there's 26 students currently right now who are affected by or appear to be affected by the decision. Those those jobs themselves are not going to go away. The jobs for students on campus are not going to go away. So if students are affected, if there's a student who's been affected by this decision, I would really love for them to come to us or let me know or let my associate vice president know so that we can ensure that that student continues to have access to employment on campus. All right, so I don't know if I did a very good job of explaining, but really what happened was the program before would be the student would get, let's say the student gets $12 an hour, some of that would be funded by the employer, and some of that was being funded by the provost. The employer is still funded by the provost, so the fact that it's going to come from a different pot of money shouldn't affect the student, him or herself, and in fact, should result in a net gain. Additional student financial aid for international students. So it's not going to go back in the general pool, it's going to go for international students. That's the decision. So I'm happy to answer questions. I will also say that, just one more thing, I talked earlier with, met with some representatives from the ISU Student Assembly, and in an effort to have this not happen again, because as I said, the communications around this were not great, is we decided that we're going to set up monthly meetings with representatives from my office and with the ISU so that we can just keep one another up to date about what's going on, what ISU is thinking, what we're thinking, and just do a better job of making sure that students have a voice in decisions and then also that we communicate decisions in a way that doesn't exacerbate already existing anxieties.
So we'll see if we're community members, as well as we're on speakers, if you guys wish to ask a question and comment. So. In the meanwhile, some members have questions.
Can you speak to the process of how this actually went about in terms of the discussions behind the scenes? Did you guys just say, hey, one day, like, we just want to move funds from here to here? Or was there a particular method of discussion while the students included in some of that?
So this was not a decision that I was involved in. So I can find out for you how this decision got made. I can't speak to how the decision got made.
Joe?
So I have a question going forward on some of the departments now hiring. So what happens when the departments will be faced between a international student applicant and a domestic student applicant? Doesn't that give the benefit to a domestic student because now the departments that typically were hiring under this program now are going to be like, well, we can use the federal work site with a domestic student and not the international student. So it's going, don't you, that's going to be a problem. That's essentially discrimination.
I don't know what that means, this part, but anyway, so I'm not, employers have told us that they're not going to do that. So we have to have a situation where that happens, and I guess we could address it when it does. But just to give you an example, domestic students also have, there's domestic students on financial aid and domestic students who are not on financial aid. Those domestic students are also should not be not hired because it's not a work study opportunity. So it's not actually just international students who face this on campus, but we've been told and we're going to work with employers on campus to ensure that there are jobs for students. And if there are not, first of all, it's not going to be true that there are not. But if an affected student or if a student is affected by this, please come to me. And I will work with that student to ensure that they have access to a job. I can actually promise that.
Yeah. Tristan?
Pick point for the first one. What Joe said.
Okay, sorry, I can't hear you.
Hi.
Can you
hear me? So going off of what Joe said for my first point, I think it's kind of problematic that we're having retroactive, policy mitigation when it comes to international student jobs. It shouldn't really have to be, you shouldn't have to wait until some form of discrimination actually actually happens or occurs to the students before like administration starts taking action and preventing that. And then my other point is, what exactly is the mandatory office going to do moving forward and actually like improve communication between the office and like international students? It feels like we were just in the last semester for another incident where communications weren't, you know, properly, you know, dispersed throughout campus. Seems to be a reoccurring problem that to address.
So I just want to say that I don't anticipate there being discrimination. So employers are always like going to continue to employ these students. So I don't think it's only retroactive. I think it's proactive and retroactive. That is to say, I believe in the jobs, and I also believe, and I also commit to helping if that means not to be the case. With respect to communications, as I just said, I'm not with the ISU today, and we're going to set up monthly meetings. That is my plan. If you have other ideas, also, you should always have them.
I'm going to alternate between committee members as I get the names. And next, going to be Avita. If you just start off.
Talking about how there is not going to be any discrimination, there's no monetary incentive to sort of employ national students, how can there be no discrimination?
I'm going to resist that we need a market incentive in order to want to employ international students. I just don't accept that. We committed international students.
Tristan.
I yield to Chris. Okay. So we just had a meeting, and I thought that was surprisingly good.
Can you speak into the microphone?
Yeah, I hope we can cooperate more moving forward. But there's just a couple of things that I highlighted on the meeting that I really think everyone needs to hear. First off, the communication on this issue was horrific. It was absolutely atrocious. Until 2 weeks ago, even affected students had no idea this policy had been changed. They just didn't know. They did not know. The student assembly had no idea. ISU was not informed. But even the International Students and Scholars Office, which is responsible for handling all international student affairs, did not know about this until actually exactly a week ago when we told them. So, I mean, whoever organized this really needs to improve on that. Because you got students disoriented, you got the SA disoriented, ISU just hit us out of the room. We had no idea. And if you're really saying that, you know, this is supposed to benefit students, don't leave them in the dark like that. Explain to them the process that you're going to go through. Tell them, you should have told them last semester, and then help them set up and especially help incoming students then also find jobs. Because we had freshmen messaging us saying, you know, they heard about this program, they were applying to Cornell, and they're trying to find a program in this program. And they go to ISSO. ISSO had no idea what was going on. And they're just desperate. And they think they're the only ones affected by this, and they don't know what to do. Before we were advertising this event, they thought they wouldn't be able to work under this program. They were still the best of communication. The second thing is you talk about like fear and anger, like it's just a conjecture, you know, because of the Trump administration's actions and stuff, you know, people are scared. But people are scared because there are actual effects on the ground. People's shifts were immediately cut when this decision was made. The main employers of international students on campus are forcing them to work only night shifts. This is not something abstract. There are important reasons that, like, international students are no longer being employed in many of the main factors in which they're traditionally worked in over the past year. And then the third thing is, I mean, we talk about wanting to work with the international student community, and I talk about this in the meeting, but like, to international students, it's just clear that there are serious progressive actions taken against the international student community. And if you want to build cooperation, if you want to lay a foundation for cooperation, it has to be some sort of positive message, positive action, frankly. There has to be some real effect that international students feel that improves their livelihood here on campus. I think that's absolutely essential if you want to get anywhere. And I feel like when you want to do that, I feel like we can accomplish something that really needs to be action within the next weeks. And then just on the point comparing, you know, like,
say domestic students that should need like new jobs, not quite for employment of domestic students who are not on financial aid, but the need for employment of international students who basically are on works on we're on this international work study program is just a false equivalence, because domestic students who do not or not financial aid are doing these jobs to earn extra money. International students with financial aid are taking these jobs because they really need this to pay for food, to pay for rent, to pay for textbooks. Like this is just a total like I really don't like that, sorry. And the last thing is you talk about all of these thousands of jobs in America, and yes, those do exist. But the fact is many of those are not open to international students. So we also need a guarantee from you that if you are going to fund this program saying that it's going to be directed to financial aid, you're going to help income students and students who are currently working under this program to find jobs with employers on campus. And also to communicate to them to say, you know, we have all these great employers and they explicitly accept international students. They have the exact same chance to work in this job as domestic students. But even regardless of that, it still puts international students with financial aid at a huge disadvantage. Because this program operated like equivalent to federal work study, and the universities are providing the money, not the government, right? So basically, a international student who faces the exact same economic hurdles and barriers that domestic student faces just does not have the same opportunities on campus. And that is just a fact. And that's something that has really worried the students I've talked to here. Because they're saying, you know, we might have positive incentives and sense, but you know, we might cooperate and make progress on this, basically have some sort of something going on where we'll make sure, you know, together we'll make sure that international students find jobs. What about after that? What if the next vice president of international affairs does not take does not have his open mind? What if the next international representative is not as active? Like, there will be no institution in place that guarantees employment or makes it easier for international students financially to find employment. And again, this employment is essential for the livelihood. It's really the people have relied on us for years, and now we're facing losing their jobs next semester. This is nothing abstract. I know this is a bit convoluted. I originally wrote a speech, but I felt like this speech was no longer warranted. Because I feel like we can cooperate on this, but there has to be action.
No, I feel like I already said what I really impressed.
I want everyone to know that she agreed to work with me on this and that we're going to make progress on this. And if there's no progress, well,
it could be Chris's fault.
It just might not be my fault. I mean, I'll be first.
And then we have to pursue our actions, right? And then like
Chris. So next on the speakers list, we'll have DJ Dean, Dean of Students, Steve, our message from us. And thank you for coming on your birthday. This is a
pleasure. It's a pleasure. I got a quick call, and sorry for stepping out of the room. I think some phenomenal points are being made, and you know, I think there's a lot of passion in having seen this room. I got a call from Ryan Lombardi, who was on the phone with President Pollock. She's been tracking the development of this issue all day long, and student advocacy, and a lot of the extremely well thought out equity arguments that are being made. She wanted to immediately sort of jump the speaker's list. I'm here to represent her voice and say that she's immediately reinstating the program. She apologizes for all of that.
But the other thing President Pollock wants you to know as a community that cares so deeply is that she was really struck by these issues too. A lot of decisions happened very quickly that she wasn't necessarily privy to, and so she was happy to get involved and to right this wrong. And she definitely understands the position of international students and values the equity outcomes for international students here at Cornell. So I hope this is a big step forward for creating a culture of belonging here at Cornell for all of our students and special areas.
Thank you,
DJ. Thank you so much for that. There's a lot of issues. I think That's obviously not a lot of you guys coming and for all you do. With this new development, we have some fitted new speakers list. so, we have just.
Do I have to say now? I just want to my talk to the president.
So, I'm going to go over the community members first. I'm going to call out your names and just go and speak about this. Alan?
I guess it's a bit good that everything has been stated and it works heading to that. So it's great. However, I feel like these are still symptoms you're cheating. Like these I don't know what it is. I mean we can't quite talk about the whole being blind to being aware, you know, the CPT almost being withdrawn from students, you know, that would mostly affect the time for students. Now this decision being made in the dark as it was. So, you know, how much more of this has to happen? Like how many more things we have to, you know, I don't have the opinion that I want to use, but we can't keep going around fighting battles. There need to be structures that are there for us as privileged international students. The ISSO did not do anything about this, and that's really pointing at something. Like, there are the people who we try to rely on the most, make Cornell a home for us, and if this keeps happening, you know, what does it mean going forward?
So, can I respond to that? It is such good news that that's a problem for us. And to Chris's point, I just want to pick up on something Chris said about what happens in prison. At this point, decisions getting made in this way that feel transparent to students. I feel like if we institutionalize these meetings so they become the regular meetings of ISSO and ISU, then, and we set those up as regular meetings, then we can make that be regular meetings within 2 weeks. That means we can institutionalize that as a relationship that works more closely with one another. And previously, ISSO didn't report. You report to me, you report to the Vice Provost for International. So I feel like that means having ISSO part of global Cornell and then having meetings and in the course of these meetings, we may have new ideas about how to institutionalize this relationship to this institution. So I feel like we're moving in the right direction starting today.
So from this point on, I'm going to limit just a couple of minutes. There's time to 45 seconds. This is Krishna. Would you still have to speak? You're good? Okay. Franco? Good. Dean? That's good.
Hello. Hi, I'm Spitz. Thanks for coming, and also thanks, Dean, for the time I put to come on such a short notice. I just wanted to point out, like, I think Alan and also Chris mentioned it enough that it's not the first time that, like, ISSO or ISU or even the students did not get notified, and I'm also happy that you proposed to kind of improve communication in the future. But I just wanted to also maybe one more question as a wrap up or whatever. Can you tell us what the initial reason for this new miscommunication was? Because it just feels like, from the student's perspective, it just feels like the administration is passing some like new regulations or like new things, hoping or expecting the students and the organizations to not act on them or, you know, like not see what's happening. So it's just tired that international students and also other students groups have to constantly get back through the SA and call like meetings on, and I just wanted to say that, but thanks for coming.
So this one, when the speaker time is up, I'm just gonna add another hand, so I'm gonna slap my hand. Just gonna finish your sentence, but that's just moving up. Next is Dylan. Still in the guess it is not. Then we'll go to the essay speaker list, Olivia.
Hi, so first of all, I want to say thank you for coming and answering questions. I also want to start by saying that I'm not an international student, so I don't know if like, you're affected by this. Like,
so you're being particularly confused?
Yeah. So I'm not an international student, so I don't know if like, you're personally affected by this. But I talked to some people, and I think, you know, you said that if anybody was affected by this, you feel like you could get a job and really talk to you. But I feel like at this point, there's been such a lack of transparency that the international student community has sort of lost trust in the university. So I feel like it's really important for you to regain that trust because international students don't feel like they're getting their voice and they're just being trampled. So I think that's really something important to focus on going forward.
I think also there's a smell function that you're talking about, so that not just a student who's directly affected, but students who are indirectly affected. I'm committed and I'm already taking response to this, but I hear you and I appreciate you saying that.
Please extend my thanks to President Pollock. However, if she hadn't come in, at the 11th hour, this still would have been something that was instituted. That is definitely very troublesome, considering the system of the transitions and being aware of the threats to CPT and this. On top of an incredibly xenophobic administration, there's a ton of anxiety surrounding international students. One of the things about the math I didn't quite work out in my head is the point of switching to need aware admissions was that so 100% of that need could be met. The $40,000 that goes to this program certainly doesn't equate to one student getting $70,000 covered. So I was curious as to know how that math worked out during the conversations you guys had.
Should I answer this? So not when we support the I don't do financial aid. Not when we support 100% of what my students need, not all students need 100% support. So $40,000 would go a long way to a student who could partially take out. This is what I'm really
going to do. Sure.
Yeah.
Just a quick follow-up question if I can. This was a 130-word email that came out to notify the majority of international students that their jobs were being threatened, which is troublesome on itself. The intentions and the words are very nice. However, to echo everybody else that has been speaking, the momentum of all of these three things that happened in the past year come with a lot of weight. So what can we do as an essay to make sure that that doesn't happen again and we're not here next semester or next month for what happened?
I'm hoping that's going to be my regular meetings with the ISU. They're going to at least produce the kind of admission that was going to happen. I didn't make this decision, as I told you. And it was a mistake the way it was communicated. I'm here to apologize.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Myra.
Hi, thank you for coming. I just really want to speak to the topic of federal work study and this international work study program I think the word discrimination has been tossed around, and that's a little bit weird considering obviously when you have someone who has federal work study or is in this program as an international student, you know, the university or the federal government is subsidizing their work, and therefore, I think in any kind of logical assumption that you would make, an employer would choose someone with federal work study or in this program, and that's not an issue, I don't think, because federal work study and people who are in this program should be put at the top of the employment list if they are a high need. You know, these people are using the money to pay for books and to avoid paying for loans. So when it comes down to it, I think that this program is essential to making sure that international students of high need can forego, you know, applying for loans and instead, you know, work on campus and really gain the money that they need to survive here and to thrive as a student. Because when income gets factored into situations and students aren't financially stable, that plays into their mental health and all of these other aspects that affect our academics, which is ultimately why we're here in the first place.
So, I really appreciate you coming out today, but I was just curious as to why it feels like every time a situation like this arises, the individuals responsible for that situation never appear, and it's really frustrating to be in this place where someone like you can come up and be kind and polite and try to answer the questions to the best of your ability, but that only goes so far because we don't understand context of the situation, and I was wondering what we can do moving forward to actually get the individuals responsible for these situations to appear before us and to explain why these situations are occurring.
So thanks for making that point. We didn't learn about this meeting until, well, I learned about this morning, but yesterday, and a significant amount of the administration is just not on campus today because of a CALS obligation. So it's actually not that I'm here be here with me, except I was the only person left behind, essentially. So that's, it's just not simply true that people are really coming to talk to me. Yeah.
This is Nick. Can you?
Was President Pollack consulted on the initial decision?
No.
I mean, I'm assuming, again, it was, yeah, I'm assuming. I don't think so.
Matt. So this kind of echoes Rick's point, but I was wondering, since you're the one who was involved in the decision, what good does it do for you to be biased? Says people who make decisions.
Yeah, so this particular decision that we're now admitting was a mistake. This is absolutely true what I'm about to say. It was really well intended. Thinking that they were liberating some money for some additional international financial aid. Understanding now how significant this was and the kinds of things that flowed from it, it's not going to happen again. No, there's not this kind of decision is going to happen in a little bit, it's going to be surfaced a little bit. As Chris and I talked about, these are unintended consequences of not a decision to try and disadvantage students. So, no, I mean, I can't guarantee that we won't make any more missteps, but I can guarantee that we'll try not to, and I'll come every time there is one and work with you to try and fix it, because my goal would be, I don't know if you're an international student, but it would be certainly to create
Hi, thanks so much for coming. So kind of on Matt's point, it doesn't really, who made the decision? Like, who should we know in the future when a decision like this is made so that we can hold them accountable? Like, I know it was illegal. So you can't blame.
You can hold me accountable. Like, I'm part of the administration. I don't want to throw like an individual in an office under the bus. You should hold us.
I just want to know who we are. And if you're not the one making the decision, how do I know who to send my email to?
So this was a financial aid decision. You would approach the Office of Financial Aid.
Okay. So, who runs the Office of Financial Aid?
We can talk about, I can get you the names of folks that you should talk to if a decision like this gets made. But again, I can sort of challenge the government comments that this kind of decision about financial aid would be made again without us having a conversation, Chris and I.
I just want to know who we can have a conversation with before that happens. Like,
yeah, so I'll get one. I'll come up for you.
Okay, thank you.
Sala?
What? Oh, no. No.
Next is Horace.
Yeah, so yeah, thank you so much for coming here. I just wanted to basically reiterating the sentiments of
international. Yeah, I just want to reiterate the sentiments of international.
Like, while I'm glad that the policy has been reversed, I just want to once again say that this policy should not have been put in place in the first place. It should have been done the way it was. Communication should have been much, much clearer. And especially as an international student, the one thing we feel when a policy like this is in place is that we aren't welcome here, that Cornell isn't safeguarding our rights here. Cornell was fine with the policy of any person that we study, and the minute a policy like this is put in place, the first thing that comes into question is that, or do we fall under the definition of any person? Are international students of low socioeconomic backgrounds who need financial aid to sustain themselves, to buy food on a daily basis, to pay their rent, to buy books, do they actually belong on Cornell's campus? Because this is not the first time this has happened. We've seen policies for international students being changed since last year, and even before that, it's been a declining trend for international student policies. And while this is the first policy that's been put in place and sort of helped us, that the Federal Work Study is back, we just wanted the Cornell administration to realize that this is one of a series of changes that have happened that have adversely affected the international student community. And we want them to understand that, like this mentioned, we need them to help support international students, to help us, you know, figure out how we belong in this community. Because again, as we all know, the political climate is kind of insane at the moment, and we just want to feel that we belong here, that we have a safe space at Cornell, and that Cornell will continue to protect our rights, even without the students sitting here in this room, the policy should continue on forward. Thank you.
Travis?
Thank you once again for being here. And I know you mentioned a lot saying how like this was a mistake and things of that nature, but just wondering now moving forward, like it's clearly been voiced that there is like a problem amongst international students in terms of need, and it seems that something had to be taken away to potentially help them. So now moving forward to make it like more progressive, are you now entering talks to still be able to supplement that financial need without having to actually take something away from the international student population? So like something that can just be given without them having to lose something along the way.
Yeah, I hear you. So I'll take that too. So I'll take that concern to the financial aid office, but I have no belief that they're looking to take something away from someone to give it to someone else. This just, again, happened the way it happened. Yeah, it was a mistake, but it really was a long time ago to try and live with that money. And it wasn't actually to take the money away, because the underlying premise was that those students would continue to be employed and continue to be fully paid. Would be additional. Again, no, it's been reversed.
John?
First and foremost, I'd like to thank you for being here, but I would also like to express like my disappointment at the Office of Financial Aid for not being here, because clearly we have questions, and international students here have questions, and you can't answer them, and the people that need to answer that we're not here, and I understand there's a CAL thing, but the Office of Financial Aid is not in CALS. And I think there should be someone here. But every time something happens to the international community, it's always a question of we need to be able to accept more international students, therefore we have to take money away from international students to help international students, which doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to a lot of people. But my question is it possible to have international students at the table when these decisions are being made? Because I am 100% sure if there was an international student at that table, that decision would not have been there. And also, before President Pollack made the decision to reverse the decision that they made, like, your tone was very much, this is not that bad, but now to make the decision, you're like, clearly this is bad. So my thing is, it's like, I don't think, I'm not blaming you, but I really don't think the administration really, really understood the consequences of the decision that was made. Because even before the reversal was made, the tone of the administration was that this is not as bad as y'all are making it seem.
So we exhausted the speakers list. I would like to say before.
Oh, can I respond to one thing that she said about it? So the dean of the senior vice provost who oversees the financial aid is on campus right now with Cornell's event.
with most of the city administration. So if you want to invite people from the financial aid office to come to a meeting, I'm sure they would come. Again, literally just not on campus right now.
Since I'm not spoken, yeah, I would thank President Paul. I really appreciate this, and especially I think the international, effective international students who is the most important for. I just want to hammer one last point home because I think it's just really important. You said it's not that people don't want to come to these meetings, and I just don't see that. And let me explain why. Because I feel like saying those things is just like putting up a Scotia. You really need to clear that up. This, like, you were aware of this issue, and the administration was aware of this issue long before we had this meeting. And it was not until ISU raised hell on social media, and everyone was aware that this was happening, that you would need to come to this meeting. And everyone else. So it's not like the administration is not being proactive in international students, don't get me wrong. I mean, this is why I'm stepping. I really appreciate this, and I think this can serve as a basis for future cooperation. But I just want to make clear, like, we aren't, like, this is not going to appease us. It's not like, you know, this is great. Now we're not going to make any more efforts. I think, like, we still really need to work on the communication, and it's really important that we
motion to proactive.
And that you also be proactive towards us, because that's the only way this is going to work. Yeah, that's words. But thank you. That's a tall second for being here to learn to take part in the deep state behind the next decisions. But yeah, thank you.
Justin. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Can you speak on the microphone?
Yes, yeah, sorry. So, structuring a financial office so that one side of it deals with financial aid for tuition, and then another side deals with financial aid while you're at the school. I was wondering if you could speak to how you might develop or institutionalize a financial aid office that has a division focused to connecting students with jobs, with federal work study programs, with financial aid specifically allocated for paying for textbooks for the time back on, or like financial aid students, first gen students, the USCIS students that are having difficulty meeting these students.
I'm still not understanding the question exactly.
Well, okay, so I was wondering what we can do for the moving from this to like restructure the financial aid office to more, to better connect students with financial needs to not necessarily resources on campus, but jobs with other methods to meet their financial needs. So not necessarily just the tuition, not necessarily just their housing needs, but like work, textbooks, food.
Right. So my understanding of the financial aid office already does help students with their seeking employment. Students who are looking for jobs, they do need that. They do help them with that. But perhaps you can find, I could find out. I'm not trying to kick it. I really don't want to be financial aid office, but I can meet with you after this if you want to follow up with the agency. And I will put you in touch with the person that will be able to help you with that question. But I don't want to be seen. It just, yeah.
Trustee.
Hi.
Can you speak in the mic?
Yeah, just another quick thing going off of what Kyle said. That's really answered. It's kind of like, if international students, next time a decision like this is in the works, if international students can have a seat at the table, if they can actually be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that my relationship with Chris and my office's relationship with ISU is going to produce the kinds of communications that you all are talking about. If you guys take a look at Chris, I think he's pretty committed to making this happen, don't you? Just look at him.
This is TJ. Hi. I don't want to jump on any points that are made. We're all really excited to hear that you are trying to work with ISU on this and trying to make sure that it's a structure to avoid future issues with this. And then obviously I want to say thank you to President Pollock, but also to you, considering this wasn't a decision that you were present for, and that you still came to try to find some sort of template for the community. So thank you. I guess just
last thing I want to add, and I'm going to get out of here, is that the student assembly, all of us, especially ISU, picked up on this issue very quickly. We were very aware that this was something that was affecting a lot of students at the moment. And it was because this was a decision that was made by the administration that was not very serious. And it was not, there's no effort to make it more upfront or more clear. And I just want to say that I think the student assembly is aware that there are going to be future issues, not just with international students, but also with minority students. Lots of different communities on our campus. They're going to be affected by future changes by the administration. And so I just hope that you, as well as the dean, are able to convey to the administration that the student assembly and the students are listening. We are paying attention. And we really appreciate transparency, so that we continue to be proactive and have more meetings like this. Thank you.
Can I just respond to that? I just want to say the thing I really liked about what you just said, I mean, there's lots of really cool things you just said about the students being aware, being on it, being in conversation with us, which I appreciate. But also, it has a bit of a total partnership, which is to say, look, you're going to make mistakes and the essay is going to be right there. But what I'm choosing to do is you say, hey, we're going to be partners to make sure that if, you know, we're going to try proactively to make missteps, and if we do make missteps, we're going to work together. Absolutely. Okay.
I just want to go back to my point and Tristan's point. You said that like you will work with Chris and stuff like that, which is great, but I think y'all made the mistake. So I think the burden of like fixing this and make sure that something like this doesn't happen in the future falls on the administration. And I know that, you know, you guys will have like regular meetings, but that's putting a lot on Chris, that's putting a lot of international students. What can you do, well, not you specifically, but the administration, the Office of Financial Aid, has a call up to you to make sure that there's a space or there's a committee? Like, I know, you know, what Mitch did probably, you know, did not help the relationship between you know, students and the administration, but Mitch is not here to move forward that. But what can you do to make sure that when these decisions are happening, when, you know, those policies are putting in place, that you can, like, you know, international students can come in and, you know, voice their like opinions and voice their perspectives. Because, yes, there can be meetings with Chris, but that can only do so much. Y'all need to do more, and you guys need to do better.
I was just going to say, I think it's really, is it Thomas that is your name? TJ, okay, I thought they were Thomas. I think more along that vein is that, so you're hearing a commitment from me. If you have really cool ideas of how we can create that space and how I can create that space for you, I would be your partner. So it's not like I'm walking around trying not to create such a space that you're describing. So, like, let's talk. After this.
Yeah, so I think, so that's it. Thank you to everyone who came out. Thank you to all the DJ. Thanks to our students. Thank you for that. I call you guys to come up here. I don't think it was a public decision, but it was the activism on the students' part. Thank you for coming, and also, so I just wanted to make a comment on the MPS and to go around to DJ and to serve them, right? Like, the purpose of the essay isn't to pit one side against the other or whatever, it's to work together to find solutions for students, right? So just as TJ mentioned, the essay wants to work with the administration to make sure that all students are presented well and that there's no miscommunication, so that we don't have to have this in the future. But thank you again for coming. Thank you to all our students. Yeah, so we're going to move on to the open microphone. So I mean, we just had Laura speak. Is there anyone else who would like to speak at the open microphone? Any students for any other reason? Well, thank you so much for coming, guys. We're going to move into announcements and reports. Motion to amend the agenda and move the three resolutions to this point in the agenda. If you don't pass these resolutions today, let's spend your time.
Sarah has a quick announcement.
Is there a
All right, then we'll be going into the new business conversation. So what sponsors the position will be?
So resolution 3 is the budget that I presented on last Thursday. I don't believe in our packets that the resolution has been amended to reflect the amendments that we made. So just so everyone is clear, we took the $5,000 out of the organizational support account and we're moving it into the, I think what it says is the $8,000 on the special projects. So that should be $15,000, but the total of the water sheets. Also, the column furthest to the right, the percent over category, that's completely wrong, and we struck that. So I don't know that's still there. But otherwise, I'm happy to take any further questions or recommendations. You see the budget box, there it is.
I got. Just can you pass the mic?
Yeah.
Any dissent? Okay, we're going to the discussion. Okay, we're going to go. All those in favor? I vote of 19-021. Passes. Next, we're going to go on to resolution 4. Sponsor number 4.
So it's required for the student assembly at the beginning of every fall semester to approve the members that the director of elections has proposed and the staff committee has, I guess, pre-confirmed or the SA confirmed them to the elections committee. If you go down to line 25, that is line 25 considered the entire slate. When voting on this, the student assembly can only vote yes or no. There can be no amendments to the 10 names listed. This, so those 10 names, if you approve them today, will be from the elections committee, which has essentially in advance already passed resolution 5. So don't get too much about how that's possible. And we really need to confirm the elections committee ASAP so that we can have our fall elections. If we don't confirm this today, we're going to have to start slotting the elections down farther and farther back. We can't have a full assembly until we have the fall elections.
So you're dissent. Can you speak into the mic?
I dissent because we haven't had a single person speak on the issue yet.
This also is not the business of the day.
Motion to move into business of the day.
Alright, all those in favor?
Because we need a person to speak, like they wanted, I'm speaking.
We went through a thorough process, and we spoke about this in staffing committee after the selections were made. And staffing committee approved this for a reason, and I hope you trust staffing committee, and I hope you trust Dale and Travis. With that, I motion to vote. So all those in favor? By vote of 20-0-1, this passes. Oh, I was thinking. All those in favor? Okay. By vote of 20-0-1, it's still passing. Okay, when I move to the other guidelines, position five. Motion is a second.
Okay. Motion to move to business of the day.
All those in favor? All those in favor? Okay, I'm going to move this to business of the day.
You're 2018, right?
Yeah.
Okay, can I just make a friendly amendment to have his 18 instead of 17?
All to favor. You shall do so. Travis, okay. But you guys, that's all to favor. Okay, we need to record a formal vote. Can you raise your collector's hand if you are in favor of this amendment? I vote by all those against. You're against over here? By vote of 20-0-1. Yes, this amendment.
All right, so the next motion of business that we have in the current elections committee is that we made on edits to the election rules that were supposed to open. So just to walk through it quickly with you guys, besides grammatical changes, we changed a few things, such as you can see on line 80, starting with when people resign. So have not resigned for a reason other than a health leave of absence or been removed from SA directly elected UAC during the student assembly term prior to the academic year, which ends up being seated during the election. Another amendment that we made as well is if you flip to line 115 on page 3, we talked about how now people, if they ever want to have somebody else collect petitions for you, their name will also be on that person from the person. Collecting the signatures, whether or not they're that candidate. This will also aid people if they ever are studying abroad. This is another way that they'll be able to petition to collect signatures if they still want to run the student assembly that next year. The edit on line 150 was just moved to a different section, the finance section, just to make it more comprehensive. And we'll talk about that in a second. We removed the word vet and chose consider just because that sounded pretty confusing. Consider just means that any organization is looking to potentially sponsor candidates, it's better to say like consider as opposed to vet, because vet sounds preconditioned prior to the form that would actually be listed. So then if you guys flip to 233, part of the campaign finance section on page 6. This is where we more comprehensively broke down how campaigns will be financed. So we said if students do choose to not use Bayfall printing services, they now will be able to receive $50, so we increase that number, and then now they'll be able to get reimbursed up to $50 as well. So the reimbursement has been increased as well as the spending for our elections. And then if people do choose to have printing by Bayfall, then they will only receive $25, and that full $25 will be also named Hertz. So this way, it's like more of a cap that students will be able to spend like up to $50, and that's what we'll be reimbursed. We strike starting on line 251 to 252 because in the past, organizations have never really disclosed if they've ever given invoices. So something that hasn't happened doesn't need to be invoiced. Okay, so then the next amendment is just on line 324. We added that to formally recognize that the elections committee must pass an amended version of the election rules the second to last student assembly of each semester. We couldn't find this actually in any of the SA bylaws or in the previous election rules, so now having it formally written that the second to last meeting is expected to amend the election rules for both the fall and spring. And then the last amendment is just on line 416. That's just it's a grammar mistake. It's judicial codes counselor, not judicial codes main counselor.
So,
you said that you changed the amount that individuals were eligible to receive to $50, is that correct?
Yes.
And so what was the reasoning for that? Just out of curiosity.
We just wanted to process. So we did ask people like typically how much people spend. We asked Austin as a former DOE himself, as well as Noah, who's a former SA rep. And even though we just felt that having $50 is incentivizing people to use this possible money that they can seek reimbursements for, and also that it's going to make people to have be more willing to use campaign funds to actually do something, as well as we want to include this in the promotion materials so that students do know that choosing to run on SA is not going to be financial burden. So I think we have a chance at having a successful campaign.
Next is Myra.
Yeah, so my comment is on this amendment. I was talking to Travis earlier today, and I was like, I don't know what the current election rules are, and I'm going to amend and make sure that the amount of money we're going to spend and the money we're going to get reimbursed is equal, because it wasn't in the past, so I just really wanted to commend people on the fact that you thought ahead of time. Even when you weren't involved in the assembly, this conversation was had, and even if you weren't there, like, I'm glad that you saw this. So, thank you.
Thank you. We're doing pretty good on time, and there's a very short speakers list, so unless you're... We're not doing the executive session. We might, I take it back, but I think there's important discussion to get through. All those in favor of voting on this resolution? All those against? By vote of 13 to 5 to 1, it passes. Just kidding, sir. Sir, first.
I just want to like bring up this and start discussing it. Because if something was talked about last semester and never really got fleshed out, but like before the next school election, it does a good deal or not for everyone, regardless of whether you're campaigning to 100 people or the entire campus. And I don't think that completely makes sense because your funding would be different presumably based on what you're actually doing it for. So it's just something to keep in mind when you're discussing now. But I don't think it's going to be relevant for the freshman slash LGBTQ election.
Next is TJ.
So is there? I don't know if you can speak on this or if other assembly members can speak on this, but is there any reason why we've maintained the option of having materials printed by Day Hall as opposed to receiving at $50 reimbursement and people after choose to still move forward cards that way? I just feel like it ends up like losing a lot of paper. It's like, okay, I'll go to ETF, but I'll figure out reimbursements later.
We decided to keep that in just because that is easier for some students, because if they all press printed that day when we have the campaign meeting, after people have been confirmed that they will run, it's already printed and ready for them to go. So for some students, that's just going to be easier in terms of time, as well as like being able to manage that outside of having to do it on there. Because then they have to, like, for some students, it's just easier. It is printed here as opposed to having to travel to get it printed, to pick it up, and all that. So it is an option that we wanted to leave open.
This is Dale.
Myra touched on it, but I think one of the reasons I was in the elections committee meeting was to make it clear one of the reasons that it was raised specifically to $50 was because that was already the spending cap. And there was so much confusion in meeting the election rules because the reimbursement number was different than the spending cap, and then did election materials got no reimbursement, and it was so confusing that we thought to make it clear there wasn't really a big difference in deciding between $50 and $35, because most people don't spend anywhere near that much. We're not expecting anybody's, very few people probably spend $50 in actual reimbursement. But to make it clear, we wanted those numbers to be the same, just for more confusion than any other reason.
Next on the list is Dave.
So I wanted to bring this up, and you know, like Sarah's point, I don't think that this is exactly relevant for the immediate fall election, but I do think it's the sort of thing that we should put on the radar. I think we touched on this a few years ago, having run in, I guess, four different races, I think that the current election restrictions on endorsing other candidates are prohibitive and burdensome, and one, like, you literally can't enforce them without, like, cracking down on what people say and think, so there's, like, actually no way to realistically enforce this or measure whether or not it, like, materially affects the election. You can't even eliminate students, like you can't prevent students from doing it, even if you try. But basically, I think that if students on the student assembly want to have an opinion about other candidates, that just like any other student on campus, they should be able to voice that opinion. I don't think that our opinions are like so special that you know you can't reveal them to people. I think that they're just like anyone else's opinions, and they should be treated as such. So, you know. That's my opinion. I think the way we would go about making this happen is by removing the restrictions on ticketing and slates. That entire section would effectively do it. But I just wanted to bring that up for discussion. I don't think it would immediately, like, I don't think it would change the freshman election that much, but I do think that we should change it now, in my opinion. But I do think that it's the sort of thing we definitely should change for the spring elections.
Okay.
So,
Where is that? Page 7 of 10, subsection D, restrictions on ticketing and slates.
Okay. Back up.
So I definitely agree with the point Gabe just made. I think that would be a good improvement to the election rules. On the other hand, the downside would be that you don't have like the diversity of political views on here. If I have a lot of Eastern body behind me and I say these five people are also really good, and then all of my backing groups to them have very similar viewpoints instead of the diversity that we have on here this morning. But I actually am in favor of that. Also with Sarah's point, $50 is more than enough. you shouldn't, I spent $0 when I just did the reports. So like $50 for a presidential race, like a student senate presidential race is fine. And like no money really should be spending close to that. So I don't think it's something that we have to really consider in depth. I actually really like that point.
As far as I know, she was strike lines 265 to 290 from the election rules.
This had.
Okay, so I motion to strike lines 265 to 290 from the election rules.
290?
From 265 to 290, and I motion to strike that all from
the election. So I don't know if it's been made entirely. The way that amendments work is when somebody motions and seconds an amendment, we immediately go into discussion on it. So we don't go into voting. So now that Dave has motioned and seconded the amendment, John will be compiling a second speaker's list for his amendment, but we will end discussion and vote on the amendment, we'll go back out into the original speaker's list where we left off.
Okay,
hey,
you're getting rid of plagiarism.
Yeah, if you read the plagiarism, it says that you can't, like if someone else writes a statement for you, you can't.
I second the motion to take a 4-minute meeting break. Or I motion for a 2-minute meeting break. That should be adequate. So what I want to say is reiterate that Dave pointed out, making this change will not affect the fall elections that much, and seeing as many assembly members have never taken time to read the election rules line by line, there's no point in voting yes on this today, because we will have months to decide what we want the election to look like. Spring, the elections committee, this is the first business that this elections committee did, and I think they made a lot of substantive changes, and I think it would actually be kind of hard on them to not discuss with our new independent commission, the ones that are elections, the changes that we want to make. And they might agree they can make these changes later in the year, or if they know that we're going to do this, that's also good. They can pass the election rules in the spring, and then we can change it, but not tell them that we have to make these changes, and making substantive changes that we haven't thought about enough, but we don't need to make them yet. I think that's just a very, very premature move.
I want a discussion.
A motion to withdraw? Okay. You may think it's the motion. You must enter the set.
We have not talked about this enough. This is one person said one thing, and they're violent.
I will have a vote to vote. All those in favor of voting? And then make that resolution, the amendment. All those in favor? One. All those against? We'll go back to this. Next one, speakers, this is Omar.
I, like, literally think that's a terrible idea. Like, first of all, I think right now it's kind of a direct thing in the Constitution Assembly. Campaign as individuals on our own platforms and ideas. Even though nobody has similar platforms to us, like, we're still campaigning by ourselves. If we create, if we get rid of this, we're essentially creating a political party for our campus. And when you have, like, voters and like this, we're going to end up with two major political parties. We're going to push out people who have viewpoints that might not be in line with those two major parties. We're going to eventually be taking power away from the students because we're going to have parties who are already in power, who have a bigger stake in the conference yesterday, able to like handpick their own like people that they agree with, and that becomes a slate that will eventually most likely get elected. And beyond that, this feels so last minute. Like, taking this huge issue that is a big deal, I think, is the way elections are run, and just putting out a good amendment that, like, the other people kind of ruins it on. I do not agree.
This is Sarah.
I definitely wouldn't support Gage Amendment. I think obviously we need to look at plagiarism and like 2 and 3. Just like I don't think we need to talk about it. But I don't support slates generally, but I do think we should be able to like endorse other candidates or at least like share different companies, but because the vast majority of the like student population has no idea what we do, so we really quite frankly don't care. I think this would be less of a popularity contest if people actually look to the people who are like in the assembly and like come to all the meetings and look to what they actually support and who they support to help inform their decisions.
This is Chris.
I think we should dismiss this outright, but I think we should look at the positive and negatives of this. I think one of the cons is that the big dilemma with the parties is that students will face the choice between giving somebody up, giving up nuances of their own personal platform to align with the platform of the party that they want to move. And so there is, like, diversity that is going to be taken out, as it is in any political system of parties. Now, on the plus side, it will make the race much more cohesive because the reality is that a lot of students don't really care enough and they're really not really informed enough. So it would really help a lot of that. It would send a much clearer message. And I guess it would also make it not only more transparent, but it would be held accountable. Because there was this very clear problem with this party that if it fails, then you know, it goes out and I guess the next party gets in. So I think we should discuss. I don't think we should pass it today. I think it's very last minute. But I think we should have an ongoing discussion about this. It's something that possibly could work. Maybe not. We should really look at this in depth and in detail. I think it's good they brought it up and mentioned a little bit. But yeah.
This is all David. Yes. Is this a vote on
the sense of that? The voters? Because we have been crossing this business and I am not confident that enough people think this is a vote to it.
Do you keep your motion? That guy keeps our motion on the vote to vote. All those in favor of voting. All those in favor of voting for the amendment. Voting on. Voting on. Okay, listen.
All those in favor of voting on the amendment, please raise your hand.
What?
We were voting to vote on that. You have to second this. All of the hands.
All right, so the vote is 8-10-1 and it fails.
What's the first drop ball?
Okay, so basically, everyone's uncomfortable because they think that this is going to pass, and the reason for a straw poll is to say where your position is right now, and that way we can quickly do the discussion. A straw poll literally means you raise your hand.
Second. Keep your motion. Okay, we need to revoke this motion. We're going to go back to the discussion. TJ, you're next.
Okay, I voted this well.
Again.
Thank you.
Did you dissent?
I genuinely think that it's a bad idea to talk about somebody. It's just that I'm taking the action over and we haven't discussed something with new outcomes and like I said, we haven't exhausted the speaker's list. Let's exhaust the speaker's list before we actually look at it.
I maintain my motion for a straw poll.
I think it's a waste of time. You have a speaker.
It takes 10 seconds. Who is in favor of a straw poll? By overwhelming majority, vote for a straw poll. What? Are those for this? There's your progress. So say, if you vote for the other favor of the amendment, please raise your progress. Are those against?
Motion to vote.
Motion for a different amendment. How can we just
start?
I motion to amend my proposed amendment to remove plagiarism from being stricken.
There's already been a second to that. Is there any dissent? So this is the room made a motion to vote on the amendment.
Second.
Which is on the floor, and there's been a second. Is there any dissent? There's no dissent on the vote. All in favor? Please raise your comments. On the amendment, no message. Yes.
Okay, the motion was made to vote on the amendment. There was a second to vote on the amendment. There was no dissent. Okay, now there's dissent. Now we have to vote whether or not to vote.
All right, Dave, say your dissent.
First of all, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. There's a lot of bad stuff going on. First of all, we have to discuss whether or not we're ready to close discussion on the amendment. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I still have not had a chance to speak on behalf of the amendment that I made like 15 minutes ago. So, like, you spent like 20 minutes trying to, you know, ram the discussion through. But why not just have a discussion, and then once everyone's gotten their thoughts out, make a decision. I don't see why that's so hard. We do have time.
Do you withdraw? Do you keep this motion? We're going to vote to vote on this. Room across, welcome back to discussion. Next on the speaker's list is TJ. What did you speak?
I did not. So, to, I guess, in the cities that were already I do think that we should further talk about this and whether we should do that this portion of the election rules within a better meeting or within Elections Committee. I think that would make no sense. I think now it should not be this amendment. It should pass the election rules as they are, so we can participate, but also avoid having to change the election plan for all elections.
There was a motion to vote, there was a second, and a dissent. See, there's a dissent, we're going to vote. Other two. All right, all those in favor of voting.
Well, they were voting to vote on this amendment. All those against? A vote of 15, 3, 2, 1. Going to vote on this amendment. All those in favor? All those against? Wow.
Okay. He's, no, he just left, but he was here most of the time.
A vote of 20, all those against? Oh, my bad. Sorry, Cynthia. A vote of 0, 21, 2, 1. This fails. So we're going to go back and
do this. Motion to amend. Can we take out my needs to any wife? Because there's a wife that I think the issue that everybody had with something the person is going to be moving later than the general rules. What? No, the part two, because that was what Clinton president needed to be healed. With the part, I'm saying the part three and part one, that's what everyone wants to keep. And I think that needs to stay in place with what Omar said. And otherwise, we'd be having political parties, and we'd be having tickets, and I don't think we should slate you. However, that being said, I do think that the guidelines for not, you know, what you call it, like, I'm just going to pull up random examples of the guidelines. They say that an EVP candidate can't show support for friends running for the cows of the
can the EVP endorse the Cal's candidate and the current rules?
No.
Thank you.
That's why I'm trying to. That's good.
So the, guys, the thing that Gabe really wanted to remove was section one. If you remove section two, nobody can endorse section one. At all, in any races. And also, just make it clear, Olivia's motion has not been seconded, so unless it's seconded, we won't go into discussion.
Is there any second? Seeing that, we're going to go back into discussion on the actual resolution.
I motion to remove lines 267 to 276. Well, and I'm sorry, from 267 to 285.
All right. Any second? There's no second. Okay, so there's been no second. We're going to go back into discussion about the actual resolution. Next on the speakers list is, okay, the next on the speakers list is Forrest. He came a long way.
I'm finna vote. Second.
And the set. See? What is that? Mike, please.
There are still other amendments that we could make that could be worthwhile to make. Do you want to do it? Do it if you want me to.
Okay, this time I'm going to vote. All those in favor voting? I'm just going to listen. Yes?
Yes.
Also, this was brought up, like, the whole ticketing idea to... Oh, I don't have a question. But, like, this was brought up to restructure committee by being in the all and shutting down because it was a horrible idea and it's a horrible idea now. So I don't know why I'm still...
Okay, so what up? Yes, yeah, so now we're going to vote.
Okay.
All those in favor of voting on this resolution, so vote to go. All those against voting. By vote of 16-3-1, we're going to vote on this. All those in favor of the resolution? All those against? By a vote of 21-1, resolution finally comes. Congratulations, sir. approved.
So I just want to make a quick statement regarding this. Because this was a contentious issue within our body, Travis, I just hope moving forward you just bring this up to the elections committee and have that discussion.
Can I just respond? And just saying, usually, you guys should let the people who broke the elections, the people who broke the resolution speak on it more, just to have some defense for it and to end conversation and bring people's time. Just to say, this was brought up actually in the elections committee when going over this. We did exactly what Dale said in terms of we don't want creativity. And also, just something for some of you guys who wanted to dissent against, some people who are in favor of the amendment, think about it as this as well. As SA representatives, it's on you to make your case. It's not to ride someone else's coattails. It's not to jump on a senior's campaign. It's up to you to make your own independent thing. We are not politicians. We're supposed to be representatives of the people. So get out there, talk to people. Don't just make a ticket for the sake of it to make it easier for yourself. The reason why we don't have this is because it falls on you. This is your responsibility. That's why you sit on this committee to speak for those people. And for you to just be able to follow another senior, it would just get a certain group of individuals continuously elected onto SA. We do want that diversity because as much as I like everyone in the room right now, we still need more. We still have a lot of work to do.
Thank you, Travis. We're going to go back to, well, not back, but we're going to go to announcements and reports now because we've exhausted the business. Chris, you already did it, right? So, okay. Next is Lee, you have the book? No? Okay.
Okay, just a quick update. I got some information about the finances that went towards the New York Times. It was approximately, the numbers in my laptop, but it's approximately $2.80, and that's how much you pay for the New York Times for an academic year, versus the Wall Street Journal, which would be $1.50 with grad students on board for an entire calendar year. So we're still having a discussion with the GPSA on whether or not we're going to move forward with that, and then we'll have that to you guys as well. Absolutely.
What was talked about last meeting, how some people weren't able to get access to that, I don't know if there was any updates.
And obviously I'm going to say that this person's put a lot of it, if you use the wrong link, everybody who has the right link has access. Just go to newyorktimes.com/pronoun. There is an old link back before we did this, and there's a certain number of passwords per day. Just ignore that. If it's not working, make sure to check it out. Let's go ahead.
That happens. Thanks, to speakers. This is Myra.
Yeah, so I've really been vocal about the New York Times subscription because I love it and I use it every day. But when I'm talking to people, I think a lot of people don't know that we have this resource. And I think we need to significantly better job at PRing it, not just with our VP external, but also amongst ourselves. So maybe a campaign.
Next on the speakers, this is Lars.
Yeah, for a nice quick question, I know we got a New York Times, a lot of people use it during the debate. My only question was, have we done this for a little bit of time before last week, like the Wall Street Journal or actually the Wall Street Journal? Because I don't know if that's like a huge proportion of them.
Yeah, so we haven't conducted that survey. Apparently we're operating under an assumption that the hotel school and a large portion of Rader College of Business would be using it, as well as individuals in the economics program, the governance program, political science, things like that. That's an assumption. In accordance with that, we made, to my knowledge, assumptions with the New York Times and those surveys were done. We can conduct those if the body sees it necessary. Personally, I don't see it as a good use of our time and our effort, but at the same time, it might be a good way to get the word out there. So, it provides benefit on both sides. But regarding one of the things that you were saying, I wanted to go into it in exec session about task forces, but I might as well just do it now.
One of the things that like, we discussed on exec beforehand over the summer was creating task forces to address situations like this. So if you remember when we had this app, when we came up to speak, historically we've done a horrible job of actually like addressing speakers and addressing these situations where you say, hey, like, this is a good idea, why don't we do something about it? Like nothing fucking happens, right? And so this is like an opportunity for us to like utilize task forces. So that's like one of the things. Like, I don't want to go into the specifics right now, because we can do this at a later time, but my goal is to create task forces and get people signed up for those task forces.
Jordan, actually, in our, at the beginning of last year, or like last school year, when the tangent point happened, she had a task force, and I was on it, and I think she was like a little bit of a follower group. So they have been tried.
So addressing that problem, like that's the main reason I want to use LinkedIn, because it actually gets people engaged, but since like people are busy and they won't download Slack or LinkedIn, as in like everyone here, like it's your guys' fault as much as it is our fault. And that's why like I would really appreciate if you guys downloaded these things, because it would just make our job a lot easier. But like we'll go into the details about how to use those things in an executive session. So we don't have time
anymore. Next is Becca.
Yeah.
Olivia.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna answer Mark's question. Basically, a lot of students are in finance because that's a lot of different to kind of keep up with things. So I definitely say that hotel school, business school, anyone who's studying economics, anybody who isn't setting up an optimal spend of finance, so there's like definitely a very large portion of the student body. I'm not going to say it's a large amount of time, but just to get to the point
of it. My question is about something that we actually
okay. Gina, do you have a
before you even get to the members and you know your meetings and stuff, there are links for the New York Times Digital Access, the Big Red Bikes, and the Students Only Students Funds, because those are initiatives for all students. So you're direct to constituents there, and it's really easy. It is. It's the new link. I should have looked at it last week, but it should be easily accessed by all students, and that's an easy place to direct.
Yeah, the Office of Assembly is really working hard on this website. Let's get like lock in.
Could you put that on the spot? Or has it already been put on the spot?
Yeah,
it's on the spot.
They have put that on the website.
It's paid for the whole thing.
Excellent speakers, this is Sam.
Mike,
please.
Just to echo Olivia's point, I also want to like bring an outsider's perspective. The Wall Street Journal, that you pay for like on an individual basis, is way more expensive than the New York Times. Like I have both. It's way more expensive, and in terms of like gathering the news, it's also like it gives you world news as well and opinions. So I think it's a really good combination of both. And
next is Dale.
Sorry, I just wanted to have the New York Times, but hey, what time do we get out of here?
The online application information session starts at 6:45. You're all welcome to stay and learn. That would maybe be good, actually, but like, you don't
have to. Motion to adjourn.
Hold on. Myra, you have 15 minutes. Do you want to make a presentation? Okay.
Motion to adjourn. I'm just going to get so good. We have executive session. Okay, so motion to adjourn and move to executive session.
All in favor? Okay. We're going to executive session.
Okay, so, like, please download Slack. It's going to be a lot easier because we're, like, because we're already having discussions with like
consolidated. You can download the app on your phone. It's easy to use.
So again, it's a Slack, but I can only find the greater SHN. I don't know if I really look at it as a long group or what have you, but I can see the movement so long.
So the title of the Slack, you should go like, I don't know how to do it from, well, I can post the link again in the group name, but also like if you go to slack.com, I believe it's /4LSA1718.
When was the last thing you posted at 5:18 a.m.? Hi everyone, please send me your values.
That would make sense.
Is that okay?
It's a
big deal. But there are no other chance.
Sorry? The URL is signed in. Yeah, it's for now, SA1718. Yeah, there's an old Slack that Emma Johnston tried to use, and she contacted me actually when she saw this on the agenda. She was like, please get this done, don't give up. So it's a little funny. But yeah, so there's an old one, like, don't type that in.
A
completely unrelated thing. I can still say it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Monday, I forgot to, but basically, on Monday, the Appropriations Committee approved an amendment to Haiti's constitution. That has not been included on the agenda. I want to say that it's a great amendment to that constitution, and the Appropriations Committee passed it unanimously. So I can forward that to everyone if you really want to read it. But in the meantime, if anyone has any serious reservations about what the Appropriations Committee unanimously passed on Monday, let me know, and we can wait until next week. But otherwise, could we vote to just approve the Constitution right now? We all are.
Perfect. And I have your offer letter.
Okay, so we're no longer on the okay,
so are you
around
tomorrow? Yeah, I'm coming in tomorrow. Oh, you are?
And
I just don't know with him yet. But I'll be doing it. I'll be there all day. So I'm going to do
the you could leave
on
there.
I'm going to do that. It's worked out so well. Yeah, it's crazy, but I love it. Honestly, it's like, this is like the first time I see it. So thank you so much for the opportunity. I'll see you
Gina, can we approve Haven's constitution right now without having the document for us?
You adjourn the meeting.
Yeah. The question is whether or not.